Dudes, episode 22, recorded March 4th, 2015. Episode 22. Right before every episode, we try and come up with a name that sort of fits the theme of the episode.
Yep.
We couldn't really come up with anything for this.
No, but what made it funny, Grant, was you're like, I got it. And then you started the intro, and you just froze like a deer in headlights.
The setup.
You know how they have those those companies that like research names so that you don't duplicate and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. We need a company that specifically names episode titles. Like, here's what we're doing, name our episode. That's what we need.
And then we
need to work for free.
Or we could do that on the side to make money.
Yeah.
For other
we
podcasts.
Name other people's episodes.
We can't even name our own.
We're so good at episode 22. Our 22nd episode, named episode 22. At least we didn't mess it up and accidentally call it like episode 21 or something.
Wait, this is episode 22, right?
Yes.
I hope so. Jeez. So this week we are going to be discussing... A bunch of new shows are popping up.
And a couple big endings. Well, one really big ending.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Parks and Rec.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Agent Carter came to season one finale.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about a bunch of new shows that popped up, as well as the return of House of Cards season three. For those of you who are able to binge watch the entire thing. And among us is just Greg.
It was funny.
Did you finish it?
No, I watched through episode 8. But
you
since
got a lot of it.
Yeah, but since we have a school, a snow day tomorrow, we'll watch the rest of it.
There you go. All right, well, before we get into that, we are going to read some... What? We have no iTunes shout-outs?
Oh.
Guys, what is this?
I don't know. It's crazy.
No iTunes shout-outs.
I am depressed.
Hey, listeners, we need your help right now. We need you to go to the iTunes store. Need you to log in, look for the TV Dudes, and write us a review and give us a 5-star rating. If you do that, it helps us out on the show, and we'll appreciate it.
Maybe they were all watching House of Cards. So
it's possible.
They're all binge-watching.
Yeah.
So we'll take that as an excuse. That's okay.
You'll feel better about yourself, though.
Yeah.
It's true.
But guess what? We got another review on Stitcher.
It's the first ever Stitcher review.
Because I checked on Stitcher.
Yay.
We actually got an email about it. But that's why I checked. Rob McCarthy reviews, is his name, I guess, on Stitcher, which is kind of awesome, says, great show. Even when I don't watch the shows they talk about, drink the milk.
Oh, Johnny, what have you done to us?
We are forever in the shadow of Johnny's milk conspiracy. once again, give us those ratings on iTunes and on Stitcher. Occasionally I'll pop on Stitcher and I'll check it out.
And Amazon. Did anybody go to Amazon and review milk?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Uh-oh.
I didn't check.
All right. If you did, you have to email us and tell us because we won't necessarily see it.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
But definitely, we're not going to go look at every milk product. But if you review something milk and throw it a TV Dudes reference, you need to tell us.
Please.
We have to read that.
Yes.
Please. Also, we got a comment that I wanted to read from... one of our posts. Here, let me pull it up.
Should have some like John Oliver action with the milk. Have it like something where we encourage people to put milk in everything. or like there was the Tony Kornheiser, their listeners always go, they have these stickers.
And we need a hashtag.
Yeah, they have a hashtag with the stickers and TK Littles, and it's like everywhere, like at sporting events.
What would our
like
hashtag
that.
Be, Greg? Milk conspiracy?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think milk conspiracy would be good.
Yeah, so hashtag milk conspiracy. Get on it, people.
So on our last episode podcast, we got a comment from Mr. Plainview that I wanted to read on here.
Yep.
He wrote, get ready for the world of no-holds-barred reality cooking. As professional chefs from around the globe gather to battle it out and tantalize your taste buds with their succulent culinary arts. But there's a showstopper of a catch. These maestros of the skillet are only permitted to use cooking methods and ingredients from the Middle Ages. Also, they're werewolves. On Sundays, be sure to catch Loop Gourmet on TV Network's newest network, Wear TV.
All right, listen, Mr. Plainview.
I love it.
Ridiculous high-concept pictures with werewolves is my thing.
Yes. Keep it coming.
Do you approve?
That's a damn good name. That's great.
I love it. Hashtag that.
All right, moving on. We have some listener questions
people
sent in.
Good.
First question comes to us from James Lee. Has our first question. Says, have you guys watched How to Get Away with Murder? I rarely watch network TV shows, but holy crap, it's so much fun in a good way.
I thought the most excellent episode was when they almost got away with murder, and then they didn't get away with murder.
What?
And then... and then the Viola Davis was like, "This is how you get away with murder."
And then she taught him the proper way.
I think that's pretty much what the show is like.
So she kind of like just, from what I understand, she's this lady who goes to prisons and like talks to all these people who didn't get away with murder.
Yeah,
and she like outlines how they should have gotten away with.
Also, there's some weird thing where they keep sending penises to dead girls' phones.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what you're referencing.
I should say only that I've only seen whatever people have talked about on the show, and I know Viola Davis is in it. So that's I'm just guessing based on that.
It's pretty big. Aren't watching
it's like
it.
Scandal. It's one of these things that everybody seems to watch.
And Empire.
Yeah.
Empire is fucking huge.
Yeah, and I don't watch it.
I have to say, maybe it might be a racial thing, or no, I wouldn't even say racial. It's a cultural thing that I think, because I don't watch any of those shows. And I
don't watch it because of the race of the people.
No, I don't like watching black people on TV.
I'm just really racist.
I don't like watching black people on TV at all. That's why I watch Mad Men all the time.
It's just hard to find a TV show with like only white people. Oh. I'm kidding.
That was good. That was very funny.
Wow, well, we're going to love the comments on this show.
It is so hard to watch. Just find any TV
by the way,
with white people.
One quick thing. Yeah. Mad Men reminded me. We haven't talked about this.
Right.
You guys have seen the Mad Men trailer, right?
Yes.
The teaser?
Yeah. Yes.
The 70s was an ugly decade.
Of course it was.
That is, yeah. I don't like it. I'm not looking forward to this.
It's kind of swanky.
Oh, God, those are ugly clothes.
I remember the early 70s was really, you go back and look at, I was born in 71, so I go back and look at pictures of myself and my parents, and I'm thinking, what the hell? Or you watch like those, you know where you really see it? Is watch like early 70s movies like Serpico. The conversation.
Man.
Like,
you want to talk about the hair and Serpico?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
you know that's when you see. That's when you look like when you look at the.
I'm just saying,
feathered hair was like really cool.
I'm just saying, much as that's the 80s, Grant.
That's 80s.
I had feathered hair in the 80s.
That's late 70s, early 80s.
Much as I'm looking forward to seeing the final season of Mad Men, I'm kind of horrified to see them in those clothes.
Well, they got what it is they get that weird Elvis like. The 70s were a time where you still had classic Hollywood stars alive, like John Wayne, mixing up with like David Bowie.
Yeah.
So it was like this really weird mishmash of like, you've got like Fred Astaire, but then you've got like Mick Jagger dressed in terrible clothes.
They always had
you're right.
Skinny ties that they'd wear.
Yeah. Oh, then they got
Grant.
The
that was also
fat...
the 80s.
That's when they had the big fat ties where you see like old Nixon, like all the politicians had like that weird hair and those big
and the parachute
ties.
Pants.
Oh,
yeah. And they wear those like flash dance shirts hanging off their shoulder.
Yeah. That, fluorescence. You know what? That might also have been the 80s.
Fuck! That was the
hypercolor was the 70s, right?
Hypercolor. That's 90s.
No, somehow I think all that stuff is going to come back in the Americans. The young brothers got to get involved in breakdancing sometime.
But to transition back, I think the reason we don't watch How to Get Away with Murder and Scandal and a lot, like I've never watched The Good Wife, is because there's so much stuff we're trying to keep up on cable. That we're not watching the network.
It's too many episodes now. I mean, I watched like the good. I thought like
we're the TV dudes. We should delegate. Randy, you have to now watch How to Get Away with Murder.
Sorry, I know how to get away with murder.
No, I quit. I quit the show.
Don't tell anybody. That's how you get away with murder. You made a good point because I used to watch The Good Wife.
Yeah.
But then it got to be too much on Sundays.
Yeah.
So I
one of those things where I have no doubt it's a good show. It's just I don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our next question. Gavin Smith wants to know, what are some recent British/foreign TV shows to recommend that we've seen recently?
Well, this brings me to one thing. The Returned, which they just did a big marathon of on Sundance, and it's on Netflix. And that's a French zombie show that is really, really good.
Season?
Their second season is just about to start in France, I think. I've seen people talking about it. I don't know when it's going to be aired here, but
like a year or two.
It's really good, and you should watch it. There's only like 6 episodes. It's totally worth
really
your time. And then, of course, Black Mirror, which we talked about. Neither are really super new.
Although the Christmas special did just come out for Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I still like Fortitude.
Fortitude?
Which is a BBC... and pivot. Just, I mean, it's so weird because I have to go. I missed three of the episodes because my DVR didn't record them. Mm-hmm. So it went from episode one to episode like five.
Yeah.
Then I tried to go back to go to Pivot Online to watch them, and I can't because it's one thing that like UVerse isn't like one of the things you can hook up to watch right. stuff online. So I'm like right. pissed. So I'm like, so I can't watch the rest of them.
Right.
Until I can, you know, until that glitch comes, fixes itself.
Yeah.
But that was one, and that's a BBC with Pivot, but I think Pivot's like Canadian. I don't actually, I have no idea.
Okay.
But that's a good one.
All right. Next question comes from Chris Hatfield. Well, not so much a question as a demand, apparently.
Oh, shit.
It says, TV dudes, yeah. The masses demand a listener call-in show. And by the masses, I mean me and my dog.
Is your dog going to ask us questions? Because if so, I will totally make that happen. I don't think we have the technology. I think we don't have the technology for a call-in show.
I mean, we could do it. I don't know if... I don't know if we have the audience that would also be tuned in at the exact time in right. order to warrant such a
if, thing. Yeah. If we get like a dozen demands, we will consider
you know
this.
What we, you know when we should do it, actually? Need something like
that. And they all have to say they're going to be here.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we should try to work that out like around the TV festival that's in Austin every first weekend of June now.
Yeah.
Something like that would be a good time. Because yep. you got a lot of... We have a lot of topics. We're physically all kind of there.
Yep.
And
I'm daily calling.
And this time, this is the first time in the ATX Festival that A, I have a badge ahead of time, and B, I have not scheduled something else against it.
Yeah.
I had planned to be there the whole time for ATX Fest. So if you want to meet the TV dudes and have a great time in Austin, come to the TV festival. If enough of you are coming, we'll throw like a little get together.
Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah,
we'll throw it out there.
We'll get a cool bar. We'll go to the same bar and have some food and we have a good time.
They have this place called Chili's. You can go check that out.
Wait, you got a badge?
It's pretty
already?
Cool.
They have margaritas.
Are they selling the badges already?
The badges I got from last year.
Oh.
You bought it.
You could buy it at the end of the show.
Smart. Yeah.
I haven't checked, but I'm going to try and once again, of course, apply for the press stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll if not, I'll get my own. Wow, that was smart.
Yep.
Damn, man.
Chris Hasselfield also asks, with Netflix's semi-successful original programming block, how long do you think House of Cards will continue before it loses its edge and steam?
Mm. Well, it's funny you ask.
Is that a transition?
No. Let me go ahead and...
Yeah.
Also add in this other question as the transition. Mm-hmm. Kyle Volte says, any thoughts on the new mid-season shows like Backstrom and the new Odd Couple? Which none of us have seen Backstrom, but we will talk about the Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk about Backstrom even though I haven't seen it.
You're good at just talking
pretty
about
sure that. There's werewolves.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Why is this prerequisite of having to watch a show to be able to talk about it? Who said you needed to do that? We do it all the time.
But that's going to come up in our third part.
Yes.
So we're going to get to that in a little bit. First off, we don't have a whole lot of news.
No,
we have a little bit.
There's a little bit. Okay, I'm just going to run through it real quick.
All right, let's
okay, Netflix is going to air a new Inspector Gadget. Disney's reviving DuckTales.
Oh,
Netflix is airing new Danger Mouse. Mm-hmm. And Lady Gaga is going to be she's going to be at the American Horror Story Hotel. There's your news. That's it.
Wow, okay. That's it.
Well, I mean, do we have anything to say about any of that, really?
Hotels? American Horror Story is going to...
Hotels?
Like, what's scary
about hotels?
Hotel
California?
Haunted Hotel?
Yeah. They say a haunted hotel. You could totally do that.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever done the Twilight Zone Tale of Terror, the Tower of Terror at Disneyland? Because it's all set in a haunted hotel in the 1950s kind of thing. You could do something with it.
I guess haunted hotels is like a niche film genre kind of thing, too.
It's sponsored by Hotels.com.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
finally
that product
seems to be kind of like a wasteful thing. I mean, why would you want?
Last season was sponsored by Freaks.com.
how funny would that be? Yeah, Hilton's haunted hotel is sponsored by Hilton. What?
Yee.
But you know what? One interesting thing about that's been going around that I haven't noticed that we haven't talked about really are ratings for some of these shows. Have you noticed? Like I've been like Grantland put something up about it today, and I read it someplace else that. I guess the Americans are doing terrible.
Oh, yeah, ratings. Really badly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
So, go watch the Americans.
Yeah, for God's sake.
It is like one of the best shows on television. I'm surprised people don't watch it.
At this point, Americans, I think, is more or less safe.
Yeah.
They've gone three... They're on their third season. They're good. FX gets the prestige from it, and they get the After Effects from selling it on Blu-ray.
Right.
I think what's going on is a lot of people are just waiting to watch it on Blu-ray. or on demand.
Yeah, you might be right.
So I don't think it's that it's a bad show or that people are like, oh, I don't like it. I think it's that people are deciding, oh, I'll just watch this when it comes to Blu-ray.
Yeah, see, I wonder what it's, what those ratings are like compared to Justified.
I don't know, but I know Justified's never done that great.
Yeah, so, and it got 7 seasons. So.
Yep.
Echelon of greatest television finales of all time.
Yep.
Parks and Rec is firmly up there.
It's up there.
It might be, I think it's the best comedy finale I've ever seen.
It was, best comedy finale? Still
it's
Cheers.
Better than Cheers.
Not better than, better Cheers. Than Cheers. Nope.
It's better.
Uh-oh. Nope.
I hate Cheers.
Sorry.
What?
I hate what? You, Randy.
Nope. It's not better than Cheers, but it's up there. Here's the funny thing, though. Great as the finale was, it's not the best finale Parks and Rec has had. They've had like three. They did the concert with Little Sebastian. They've done the was it Leslie and Ben's wedding? No, that was in mid-season. They've done a lot. They've done a lot of finales. Sort of her
this
winning.
One was, yeah. This was great.
This was great.
This
it was
this
really
had
good.
More emotional weight than any of the other ones
Grant,
I've seen.
Robot check. Did you cry?
No.
See.
Yeah, but I don't. I just don't do that.
No, you've only cried once on record. Now, was that the finale, your favorite finale of all time? Didn't you cry on that one?
Lost? No.
No. 6 Feet Under.
Oh, 6 Feet. Yeah.
Yes.
That, and I hear that this is sort of a reference to 6 Feet Under's finale.
I mean, it's very similar in this jumping ahead in time kind of thing of lives.
So I've been reading Steppenwolf. Alan Steppenwolf loves this show and has been talking about it all week. He's done a bunch of interviews. He had overviews. They had a whole podcast devoted to it. I mean, those guys have just gone over Parks and Rec. Mm. And I totally get the devotion because it's such a good show.
This is live action Simpsons is what it's been described.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect description
because
they have such an expansive community of characters.
Yeah.
And they pay service to so many of them so well here in this final season. I thought they gave a lot of closure. They developed a lot of characters. I mean, I've heard some complaints about April's character that she kind of changed from who she was, but I actually think that she showed the most growth of any character.
Yeah, well, she was the youngest when they started. Of course she changed because she had to grow up. Yeah.
And she's bitter about it and she still kind of maintains some of her quirks.
Yeah.
But she grew up, and that's good.
So, specifics.
Yes.
What did you think of the All Johnny Karate show?
It was a little weaker.
It seemed to be a love or hate it show. It seemed to be a love or hate episode.
I didn't hate it.
I did think it was. I agree that it was a little weaker, but I loved the concept, and I thought they executed it pretty well.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of fun and playful, but I kind of wish if they really wanted to stick to it that they didn't have so many breaks from the conceit that we are part of the audience watching it.
Mayor Gurgich.
Okay, Mayor Gurgich, I thought is perfect.
I love it.
I think,
and I love that he succeeded the mayor who they've name checked and managed to get the person they've been wanting forever for
Bill Murray.
And that was great.
Is that spoiler? Sorry.
No, I mean, we're in spoiler territory. The show is over.
Yeah.
But the whole thing that he gets to be this long-term mayor and that his wife still looks amazing when he's 100. There was so much fun stuff to that. By the way, Gary's funeral, Jerry, Gary, Mayor, Larry, Harry, whatever all the names they gave
Harry
him.
And Barry,
at the end, it's the farthest they've gone. And I want to know what your thought is. Is Leslie the president?
Is she the president or is Ben?
Or is Ben the president?
She's totally the president.
Yeah, she's the president.
Absolutely, yes. 100%. That's...
The TV dude's
that's the logical conclusion to her timeline.
The official TV dude's answer is yes, she's the president.
But to say it explicitly isn't as fun as to make you want to speculate.
No, I love the way they did it.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. I also loved Ben sort of stepping back and letting her run for Congress. Yeah, whatever it was. There's so much.
I mean, that all made sense. It was kind of weird if he was actually going to take it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that was her childhood thing.
Run for governor, because he'd been in Congress, though, so it sort of makes sense, where she'd only done local government.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and but Ron...
would he lose his... he was a senator.
He's a congressman. Oh, congressman. Yeah.
Would he lose that?
Yeah, generally congressmen, governors, they do that, right?
Yeah,
because governor's a stepping stone to president.
Would he lose it just because she becomes governor? He could still be.
Oh, sure, he could still be congressman. Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's got to be governor. She's got to be governor of Indiana. He's got to be congressman in Washington. So, yeah. You know. But. And I thought the stuff with Ron was great. There's the great little nod to his paddle your own canoe.
It was good.
Yeah.
No, it was really good.
Yeah.
Because I like that ultimately I guess I read this somewhere else, so mm-hmm. I'm cribbing it a little.
Yeah.
It might have been Hitfix. I read a bunch of awesome reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, in the long standing battle between Ron and Leslie for, the role of government and her belief in this good of government.
Yeah.
Ultimately, she wins.
Of course she does. It's her show.
And
it is. I mean, it's a huge ensemble, but it has always been Leslie Knope's show.
It is. But, I mean, it was an ideological battle between the two.
Yeah.
That it was interesting to see that, in a way, he still concedes and gives a very humble thank you to.
Yeah.
It was a very powerful scene.
Yeah. Well, I love that basically they spend the whole thing, the flashback sequence is them doing a thing, a small local thing for somebody who totally doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that's a metaphor for the whole show, is that basically, and it's, they've talked about throughout, that Leslie's view of government is that you fix problems, you fix things. It's not about getting the thank yous, it's not about doing glory work, mm-hmm. it's about trying to do your best to fix things. It's what government should do. It's very aspirational and same. It's weirdly similar to what West Wing was about. Yeah. On a smaller level and as a comedy instead of a drama.
And it was a great nod that they had the same exact guy who wanted the swing fix.
Yeah.
Was the guy from the very first episode who was drunk inside of a slide.
That is a deep dive. I would not have caught that without Seth Moll pointing it out.
Yeah, that was pointed out in articles.
But that was great. It's a great little nod that that's where his life, he was at his lowest ebb, and now he's a guy with kids.
What was your favorite flash forward?
Oh, man. Jerry is definitely up there. That was so good.
He just has a perfect life.
It was so good.
Everything worked out for him. Everything is perfect forever.
I actually thought that the flash forward to April giving birth was hilarious and sort of touching.
That she was in the makeup.
Yes.
Yeah, that was perfect.
There was no flash forward I didn't love.
I felt it was a little bit stilted, the exploration of the future of what's her name? You just said.
April and Andy. Yeah.
I kind of wanted a little bit more highlights than that.
Yeah.
It was just all of a sudden like, you guys need to have children.
Yeah.
And have them.
Yeah.
I mean, because we leave off where Andy is this bouncing ball of creative energy and enthusiasm. And I wanted to know if he ever pursued anything else further.
Right. Right, that's fair.
And we don't really get that because we get all these like career aspirations of everyone else. And then we get something very domestic with them.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
One of my favorite was, surprisingly, because I hated this character the entire time, but Craig getting with Typhoon.
Did you like that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that whole, he gets to know and he's like, oh, fine. It was such a concession.
I also love that. I think the biggest reason to do that flash forward was not for Craig and Typhoon.
Ron.
But Ron.
Yeah.
Ron, to see that Ron was his best man, because Ron's always loved his barber, and to see that they developed that relationship was so good.
Yeah.
And that was really fun.
Donna was a little bit lackluster to me as
except
well.
Except I like seeing Donna sort of develop a heart.
Yeah.
Donna becoming the head of a trust for her husband, I thought was really cool and really sweet.
Yeah.
Also, John Ralphio faking his death badly. Killed
and then,
me.
The other little nod was in the plane when Craig and Typhoon are flying.
Yeah,
they're drinking John Ralphio champagne.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man. It was a great ending. Oh, Brandy Max in the city council, and her list of every time Brandy Max listed a movie she'd been at, and it killed me.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great finale to a great show. And this, you want to talk about seasons? Like, remember 30 Rock? I don't know if you agree with me on this. You may not. That 30 Rock sort of fell off.
I thought it fell off.
And then it had an amazing final season.
I didn't watch its final season.
Oh, man, the final season was like a comeback.
Oh, wait, no. I did watch most of it. The final, it has that boat thing at the end, right?
The final season was like a victory lap season. It was really good. And this 30 Rock reminded me that. I mean, Parks and Rec reminded me of that, and that Parks and Rec never dropped off really. But it was starting
a lot of complaints about the quality of the final season.
It was getting to the point where it was probably time to go, and then they came back with this final season. And I thought the final season was amazing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I see some legitimacy to the complaints that they were rushing character development.
Yeah.
Just to kind of
get things done.
Fulfill fan service, I guess.
Yeah.
More so
I
than
guess that's fair.
Having things naturally play out.
I feel like as long as they went, they'd earned that. They'd earned the chance to sort of just take a victory lap.
Yeah, but it's still.
Sure.
It's a notable difference. That
sure.
It takes you out of the engagement, enjoyment of the episode of some.
I guess. I loved these episodes. I thought they were funny and really got the characters perfectly, and I thought they wrapped up nicely.
I agree with you.
Yes.
I loved every episode. Yeah.
So
I don't even know why I'm validating those.
Yeah, characters. Screw the haters.
Yeah, there you go. Overall, A+.
A+.
So another show that came to its first season conclusion.
Possibly series conclusion. We don't know.
Oh, no.
The ratings were really bad.
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Tell me about this.
Greg, you're a few episodes behind.
I'm a few episodes behind, but I don't, you know.
Where did you leave off?
I left off. Okay.
Did you see the hypnotist guy get into custody, basically?
No.
Okay. There's a big twist at the end.
Okay, the last one I saw was Stark had she was hiding Stark in that all female.
Yeah. Hotel. You may be like four episodes behind, okay. Dude. Did you see the Howling Commandos episode?
No. Okay.
Okay. You're like
whoa. I actually started watching it, but I didn't finish it.
Okay. Yeah.
They went back and got
it. It was great to see the Howling Commandos again, and to see Peggy out in action with the guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because Chad Michael Murray from the outset had been sort of this guy who was sort of the jerk to her.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And then when he sort of freezes up and she sort of helps him,
right.
He learns. Oh, she's actually as good as she says she is, and
right.
And he seems to trust her. And then there's this great twist where they find out. About the you know, that she's been working secretly with Howard and
yeah.
She looks like a traitor, and there's this whole thing where she's up against the SSR,
right.
And then they brought in another guy who's sort of the bad guy who starts turning people against, and they tied into the Black Widow program, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like they have these Russian schoolgirls who are being trained to kill.
Right.
And that's clearly a nod to sort of Black Widow's history, which we haven't seen in the cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought giving her a Russian femme fatale foil was a great idea. I thought they did a really good job of sort of wrapping everything up. This was a period piece that did not really tie into Marvel that much. I mean,
yeah, I guess that was my question with it. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I'll watch the last four. I guess I'm behind. But other than the direct, and again, I'm not as familiar with the universe as you guys are, obviously. But like from the tie-in for the Captain America, and I know he gets with the movies, he's like frozen or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Brought back, so I wasn't quite sure what the purpose of it of the whole
yeah.
Of the thing
well, that's
was.
The thing. This is all a character piece. This is a reason to do a period spy piece,
right?
With Peggy Carter because Haley Atwell's good in the role,
right?
That was all it is. This isn't like S.H.I.E.L.D. where they're using it as sort of a Band-Aid between series or movies.
Right.
You know, this is a standalone story, and I think that's probably what puts some people off, is that period pieces are a hard sell.
Right, but I mean, but for somebody like me,
yeah.
Who's like, okay, it doesn't have to be in the universe, and I enjoy it,
yeah.
Because I enjoy it as its own entity, I would think that hopefully it pulls more people in. So maybe I will go back and maybe catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D. because I liked the first.
The thing is, like,
episodes.
I didn't need the Easter eggs or anything like that because there's not a lot of that. I didn't need them nodding to things. I just wanted to watch Peggy Carter kick ass in the 1940s.
Yeah,
and that's what this
was.
Which
is very enjoyable,
and it was a lot of fun. And the chemistry she had with Jarvis was really good.
Yeah,
the special effects were pretty good. I think the special effects in the fight sequences here were way better than they are in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
Yeah,
they were really good. See, why is that with S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I can't quite figure out the S.H.I.E.L.D. disconnect of like budget and fight choreography and all that.
They've got Disney. They got all this money.
I know.
It's just so strange.
I don't get it. But Agent Carter looked like what I wanted S.H.I.E.L.D. to look like from the outset.
Yeah.
And I was pretty happy with, all told. I don't know if we'll get another season of it. This was always promised as a miniseries, although apparently it's always been said that they'd do more if it did well. I would love to see more of it, and even if we don't get more of it, this is one that I'll probably pick up on Blu-ray. I thought it was a really good.
I thought it was very entertaining. I'll catch up on them, and I don't know. I'd suggest it. I mean, Helene doesn't like superhero stuff at all. She's like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, this is really more like a period piece Alias than it is a superhero show. Yeah,
that's a good way to describe it. And I liked it. And I don't know. I mean, it might, well, like I said, I might start checking out more S.H.I.E.L.D., but I got to catch up so much that it's,
right.
It might be too daunting of a task for me.
Right, well, we'll talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. when we get to it in a little bit. And yeah, there's some reasons you could jump in.
Well, moving on then from there, do you want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, sure. That's a good transition.
There you go, transition.
Sure. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just came back. Mm-hmm. As we record this, it was one night ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, the big thing where they've revealed that Sky is Daisy Johnson, a character. You want to talk about deep dives into Marvel continuity? That is a deep dive. I mean, she's a relatively new character, but nobody knows who the hell that character is. She's been in Bendis' Secret War from decade ago, and a book called Secret Warriors that was about S.H.I.E.L.D. that nobody remembers.
But, Randy,
yes,
she may be a minor character,
yep,
but there's something significant going on with her because her heartbeat 300 beats per minute, which isn't human. That's inhuman.
Yeah.
The Inhumans.
Yeah.
This is the introduction to them.
And, it is.
It's kind of like, oh, you can't have mutants. So they're doing Inhumans.
Here's the weird thing about the Inhumans being their new mutants. Mutants is sort of a thing where they got powers because of the 60s background radiation thing. They're like, they just sort of happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Inhumans very specifically are like an alien genetic experiment, and there's a Terrigen Mist that activates them. There's a sort of weird mystical alien conspiracy backstory to Inhumans that mutants don't have.
Yeah.
So
not all that baggage.
So it's a little weird to me to sort of make them new, but I kind of like it. I like that there's sort of something a little more sinister, a little more weird about them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas mutants were just, we don't want to explain how they got their powers. They just have powers. They're mutants.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
A mutation.
Yeah. I like the Inhumans as a substitute, especially the way they're doing it. The guy with no eyes who can teleport, I don't know who he is. He's a main character in the Inhuman book that Marvel publishes that I don't read.
I heard someone say it's Uatu.
It's not Uatu.
Yeah, he needs a big bulbous head and to not interfere so much if it's Uatu.
No, the guy, he's actually a guy. I don't remember his name. He's from the new Inhuman book.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah. That's a character who I don't really know that well because I'm not reading the new Inhuman book. I need to catch up on it.
I think his name is Kurt Wagner.
No, but those teleportation effects were good, weren't they?
They were really good.
So much better than the rest of the special effects in that show.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It's a little goofy parts of that show. It's like they spend their budget on one thing and they're like, okay, just do something else budget.
Yeah, and then there's this whole slow motion flip shot with what's her name? Not the Cavalry. What's her name? Wait, Ming-Na Wen's character.
Oh.
Whatever her name is.
The Asian lady. Yeah,
I've completely blanked on her name. Where they do this thing where she does a flip and shoots four guys. And I'm like, what was the point of that?
The dialogue was all weird for
them.
Like, you know what's next or something. And so then she does that. And then to have him like just so flub a line so awkwardly to be like, I'll never let you get away or whatever he says, dumb.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, at that point, I as well knew, this is all bullshit.
I mean, they did make fun of it. She did say your script was terrible for it, but why do that?
It just threw it,
once they got shot, you knew it was a fake out.
Yeah, it was all corny for us.
But I wish they had done it so that we didn't know it was a fake out.
Yeah.
You know, show them being wounded, not killed, so that we actually buy it for a little bit.
They're supposed to be top-of-the-line agents.
Yeah.
They should have some better acting skills.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not mess up on that. Especially Coulson.
Coulson, yeah. So there was a little bit of cheesiness in. Also, the whole thing with Daisy Johnson and her powers, that is not a great set of powers. They're not very visually interesting.
She's like what? Quake? Is that her name?
Quake, yeah.
She can cause earthquakes.
Earthquakes, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's a powerful,
it's never gonna look that
but it's,
great
it's in, not visually interesting,
in
yeah.
little microcosm. She's just, right now she's jitters.
Yeah.
She's not Quake.
Yeah.
She'll get up there.
Yeah.
But, okay. Also, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
The whole hit that they orchestrate.
Oh, that was pretty brutal, yeah.
Where all of a sudden they get that one dude to
turn on all the Hydra guys.
All the Hydra heads.
Yeah.
And they killed like five or six all at once.
Yeah, and then they just shot one guy in the face.
They showed a headshot.
Yeah.
This show is progressing. It's getting a lot more adult.
Yeah.
They're showing straight up murder.
Yeah. Well, they're spies.
I know.
This is not, they're not doing superhero spies. They're doing spies.
But it was like PG to PG-13.
Yeah.
I mean, it was PG before.
Yeah.
This is PG-13 plus.
It's actually, I mean, Alias, on Alias, she rarely shot people. She always would karate kick them or knock them out.
It was just very significant to see.
I agree.
I like that they're making this a little bit more adult tone because it does show that the stakes are higher.
I agree.
There are consequences.
I also thought it was kind of funny that the Hydra Council they came up with was looked like Dr. Evil's band of evil. There's like the evil businessman guy and the evil sheik.
They even
then
said
the woman.
The Baroness or the Sultan.
I was like, guys, a little more effort. Come on.
Was that supposed to be a wing?
I think that was supposed to be the head Hydra Council.
Was it?
But the thing is, they're taking their orders from Strucker, who's a movie guy.
Which one was Strucker?
Strucker is the guy at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier, maybe? No, not Winter Soldier.
In the room with the twins?
Yeah, in the room with the twins. I can't remember what that movie was. Thor 2? No?
I think it was Captain America.
Was it Captain America? Yeah. Well, that's right. Soldier. That's right. Yeah. There were two epilogues to that. Yeah. That's the thing. Strucker is a comic book villain. He's one of the big guys of Hydra. They reference him. He's the guy in charge. This was supposed to be, I think, his council. Mm. So it was supposed to be a major blow they struck. Yeah. I did like how they Bobby was sitting out there with Hunter in the car, and the guys pulled up like they were going to assassinate them, and they just casually sat there as the guns, they just shot the bulletproof gun, like, okay, popped out the guns and just killed all of them. I did like how they basically seemed to be in charge the whole time.
Yeah, isn't it a little bit better that S.H.I.E.L.D. suddenly seems competent?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah.
And in a big way, and they should, because they're supposed to be the big badasses. Yep. And I guess it's earned, because they had them really top, and then they had them destroyed. And then they crawled their way back up.
I'm honestly, my big worry is, I don't know if I like the Inhumans on a TV budget. I'm a little worried that they're gonna screw this up trying to bring the Inhumans into S.H.I.E.L.D. I liked all the spy stuff. I like the spy gadgets. I would rather this be more of a spy-fi kind of show, Man from U.N.C.L.E. type thing, than suddenly try to bring a lot of superpowers in, because they don't do it well.
I don't know. I mean, they had Porcupine Girl, and those kind of goofy looking, whatever her name is supposed to be.
Reyna. I don't know who she is. I don't know who she's supposed to be.
Because it kind of reminded me of like Spike from the X-Men or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely characters like Porcupine-like characters in the Marvel Universe. There is someone named Quill or something like that, but nobody memorable. It's a minor character, if anybody. I think it's an original character.
Can't have Quill. Yeah. We already have a Peter Quill
That's
in the
Marvel
Universe.
But what I was going to say to Greg related to this is that the thing about S.H.I.E.L.D. is you can just jump in. They keep doing these jumping out, like the mid-season.
Oh, okay.
You can just jump in.
Oh, okay.
All the backstory. In. I mean, you can always go back for the backstory.
Okay.
But they keep making it very approachable, like everything has changed and here's the new status quo.
Oh, okay. Or you can do your favorite Greg thing and just read Wikipedia to catch up real quick.
I just might do that.
Yeah. All I'll say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that I like it better than I did when it was first in season one. And like I always said, I will keep watching this as long as it's on. I'm a Marvel zombie.
Yeah.
But I thought this return was a little weak.
I think I don't know. I was actually impressed with a few elements.
Some of it.
I would say overall, it could have been better.
Yeah.
But I thought how they orchestrated the big hit was really impressive. I thought the cold open was pretty neat.
Yeah.
With the teleporting dude.
Yep.
And I thought it was a great hook at the end, having him pop right back in as an adult and take it away. He's like, what?
Yeah.
It's all this. So I also like them kind of sowing these seeds of dissension within the group.
Yeah.
That they aren't getting along. And
did you not feel that was all sort of resolved really quickly, though? He's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. He's like, it's all right. And that was...
It did, but I'm hoping that there'll still be kind of little remnants of that going forward.
Yeah. It was good. I'm glad to have it back.
We have another show that has returned. House of Cards came back for season 3.
You know, the funny thing about that is the hype around it.
It's crazy.
It was really crazy. I mean, the whole binge watching people. I mean, when I'm seeing it in the morning shows, and I saw the showrunner, who I'm totally zoning on his name. He was like on the show. He was on the weekend morning shows, like the Sunday morning shows and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, we're not going to just sit and talk about it. Okay, we're not going to give any spoilers, but this, how is the whole phenomenon of it? I don't know. I think it's interesting. And I think the press behind it is good. And I think people love Spacey as Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
And
Robin Wright.
And Robin Wright is, man, I don't know what Sean Penn was doing, man. Sean Penn lost out.
Sean Penn's a dumb piece of shit.
Yeah, he really is. But
as a human being,
she is amazing. She's great in this. In
role. It makes me go, wait, what was she doing in like other acting roles? Where's she been?
It's like, what? She was in
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah.
And like, not Fear. Like Leaving Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, Leaving
and
Las
Vegas. And like, what else?
Yeah.
It's like, just not.
She's an amazing actress. But I'm 8 episodes in. Now, it's fun because.
Does that mean you have 2 left? Or
I think it's like 13. Oh, 13. I don't remember. Okay. But. From a lot of people who I know have watched it or what I'm reading about, is they're not as hyped about the season as season 2 and the first season. And I think I know why. It's kind of like the whole thing with Obama. You know, the lead up, the running for the office is like the exciting part. But then when you actually have to govern, that gets boring and gets into minutia of stuff. And unless you take it like say Veep does, and make it like funny and ridiculous, then I mean people talking about policy was like the big thing. There's a big policy thing that the president wants to do, and he's got to connive his way to get it done.
I still feel like House of Cards is once again one of those. There's the critics and then there's the audience,
right?
And what the audience wants is not what the critics
right.
want,
right?
And yet we read these things from critics, us being critics as right. well. I mean, I get the irony,
yeah.
But we read these things from critics that are like, oh, this just wasn't meeting my expectations. Right. But it's meeting the expectations of a lot of this audience because it does really well.
It's not as flamboyant as season 1 and season 2.
I guess people, maybe it doesn't have enough of the drama, the crazy soap opera twists.
It was like scandalesque, you know? And that's part of the stuff which kind of pushed it over the edge for me. I was like, okay, this show is ridiculous, but I like it because I love Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright.
It really makes the shift in season 2 a lot more.
It got insane.
Even sillier, yeah.
But then it pulled back, and this is one of those things where I don't know how shows do this. It's like it pulls back to where it's like a piece about getting legislation done and working in Washington and his personality and the forces that go up against him and what his future is going to be.
But there needs to be more cutthroat murder.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like you kind of just you're watching it and you're like, okay, this is a okay show. I actually like the interaction, like the drama with this. But then you think, wait a second, didn't he just push somebody in front of a train or something? You know? Yeah. So it's like,
Are you saying Obama's never pushed anybody in front of a train? We all know.
So Bush
used to push everybody. Cheney pushed everybody in front of a train.
He shot people in the face. So, I mean, I'm of two minds of this. Because I like the show in this world so much.
Mm-hmm.
I can have my disbelief and just pass over, like, okay, I'm gonna act like that craziness in the second season didn't happen. So I'll enjoy this season. But then again, I did like some of that craziness. There's really not a lot of that there yet. I don't know. I heard that last episode's actually pretty. Somebody said, who was it? I think Jordan Worth Cobb said this. He goes, he's put down his Facebook. He goes, man, you know, that whole thing from Anchorman, man, that escalated quickly.
Ah.
And it was like a really funny, it was like, you know, like I think a gif of that or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it has a potential, I guess, to escalate really quickly. But all the same characters are there. All the new characters from last year are there.
So it kind of like spreads out and you get more of the other characters when...
It has
a
to.
Lot of the show, you kind of just want to hang around Frank right. Underwood and what's her name? What's his wife's name?
Claire.
Claire Underwood, yeah.
You want to see them, but at the same time moves on, there's going to be campaigns to run, there's going to be competing forces, there's going to be... and it's funny because I can talk about it without really giving anything away. I mean, we know he's president. He's got to act like president. And there's a few interesting things here and there of how he wields
power.
He's
running against Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I would watch that.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
I would watch it. And then the Congress would be the guys from Alpha House.
He
would kill Gary. Speaking of
science. He would kill Jonas.
I think
everyone would
kill Jonas. He'd push Jonas in front of a train, and then the rest of Veep would like cheer.
Right. But then Jonas would get up and he becomes like a zombie werewolf or something like that.
It's true.
Just lives on.
Yep.
And I guess the main thing is his Underwood's main guy, Doug.
Yeah.
End of last season, he got attacked.
See, yeah, I mean, I saw the first episode.
So that kind of story with his rehabilitation mm-hmm. and what he and how he filters in and stuff, that I think is very interesting.
It's weird though, yeah, because
very weird.
They come back for the first season and they spend the first 30 minutes of the first episode focused just on Doug and his rehabilitation.
Yeah.
30 minutes of it. And that's nuts. That's an entire episode of a comedy.
Right.
And you're just devoting it to this one. I mean, he was a secondary character.
Well, yeah, but he's the key because he has all the secrets. Now, the thing I don't the interesting thing to me is, like, I thought they were doing that, focusing on his recovery, because either he'd continue on being the second banana or something dramatic will happen where he's going to be pitted against him.
But from where I am, it looks like he's going to backslide.
You'll see. You'll see what happens. And where
that syringe thing? Also, yeah. That was one of those creepy FUs to the audience, right?
Right. That was creepy. But as you'll see later on in the season, you'll see that you're not quite sure if he's working for the Underwoods or working for somebody else. Maybe by the end of the season, you'll find out where. And that's the only. I'm trusting the show how they're focusing so much on Doug that he's going to be a key leading to the finale. Mm. So I'm trusting it. And see, this is the thing for me, is that when I'm behind, like if I'm loyal to a showrunner or a show, every show has its ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I just say, I just trust the show. I don't immediately quit or bag on a show because it didn't meet up to my expectations. Like, say, Justified, which has its ebbs and flows, or The Wire, or Mad Men, or any show that I love. I understand when people don't like it, fine. But I'm not. I don't just jump off because I'm giving them. I'm in that world. I'm trusting the writers to take me. I'm trusting the showrunners. So because the actors is still really good. So they still have some kind of continuity to it. So I'm Luke. I like it. I understand why people aren't into it, but I like it. So, and because of my I like policy wonk shit. But
yeah,
you know. So, but I would suggest if you've never seen 1 and 2, definitely watch 1 and 2. They're very entertaining.
Yeah.
This
one just kind of goes a little bit more there, into the politics deep end.
Yeah, it's there. But again, I gotta finish it, and I might have a totally different opinion after tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick break because I want to move into talking about some of the new shows that have popped up. Mm-hmm. But a little bit of a break. Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco. You'll never even get me out on the floor. Guys were the last man on earth, what would you do?
I would go bowling.
Yeah.
I would open doors with a gun.
Yeah.
I would
opening the doors with a gun.
It killed me every time. It's just so casual. You just takes out the gun, shoots the glass, walks through.
Yeah. Oh man, this show
that'd be cool.
Surprised me.
I loved it. I wasn't shocked. I honestly figured, given the talent behind this show,
mm-hmm. yeah,
we were going to get something pretty great. And I thought we got something pretty great.
So did you guys know that?
I didn't know. I suspected that they were going to do something like that.
I mean, they kept that under their shirt.
They did a good job of it, yeah.
That's
so,
quite a surprise.
I didn't watch it, so and I meant to. Is it on Sundays?
Oh, spoiler, Greg. He's the last man. She's the last woman.
Okay. Well, no. So, what night is it on? Is that on Sundays? I don't know why. I saw it.
I don't know. I watched it online.
Okay.
It's on Sunday nights.
Okay.
It's on Sunday. It's another crazy Sunday night thing.
And they had an hour. Well, they had two episodes back to back. Hour premiere.
Okay. So I can catch up easily.
And
yeah,
they fill that first hour, I think. I mean, it's good that they had two episodes.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. I think we had speculated previously that we thought what they were going to do was have him be the last man on Earth, but mm-hmm. have to do a bunch of flashbacks. Kind of
right.
That
I was thinking, I was expecting flashbacks.
Yeah. But it turns out, no, it's a guy-girl comedy dynamic that's going on. But that first episode, you don't see her until the very end. That's kind of the little yeah. hook.
It was a great reveal. And right. then they faked it out with Alexandra Daddario. Isn't that her name?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great little fake out. Because for a second, because when they showed her at the end of the first episode, they showed her blurry and she coughs. And there's the shape and the voice. I was like, that's Kristen Schaal. And then they came back and it was Alexandra Daddario. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. They totally faked me out. Yeah. And then they faked me out again. I'm like, oh, okay. No, I was right the first time.
That's her.
You yeah, got yeah. me. I was like, that was great.
I mean, overall, what do you think of like how they're going to be able to carry this show?
I honestly, the first episode, I was like, this is really good. I don't know how you sustain it.
Yeah.
Second episode, I'm like, oh, it's the Odd Couple in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
So you can do this forever.
Yeah.
When they're driving down the street.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop signs.
Well, no, because this is it's the greatest high concept in the world. It is, what if you're the last man on Earth and you had 2 years with no human contact? You finally meet someone else, and within 5 minutes, you hate them.
Yeah.
That is the best concept ever.
It's pretty great. And I mean, I wanted another really good comedy. And yeah. It looks like this has all the makings, and for it to start off so strong, yeah, it's pretty surprising.
Yeah, well, and he's such a schlub. He was a temp at age 41. Yeah. He has no skills at all. I mean, he's inventive in that he creates himself a toilet pool, but I mean, it is a guy with no ambitions at all. He doesn't even care about bringing the human race back. He's like, he's just done.
Yeah,
it's so hilarious.
They do this joke with the Castaway bit.
Oh, that was great.
And he's watching Castaway. He's like, this is just so full of shit. And then later, when he's going and naming all the different yes. balls in that room, and it goes on for so
yep,
long.
He keeps going. Yep.
At first, I was like, that's kind of funny. I was dying.
Yeah, kept dying. He kept laughing by the end.
I was just crying. I was like, this is
the other great payoff to that, of course, is when he's killing himself. And he's like, oh, and by the way, he's just talking to himself.
Yeah.
He's like, and by the way, huge apologies to Castaway. You guys 100% nailed it. this having him talk to God was a great bit.
Yeah, I was like, you need him saying stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, talking to God, that's good.
There's also a lot of great stuff where he just, like, just all the stuff he stole on his trip. He got the Stormtrooper helmet in the background, yeah. Stapling the painting up behind his bed.
Man. So all the goodies, yeah.
Okay, so is there any idea of the concept of why he is, or there's
yes.
electricity?
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
There was a virus that killed everybody.
Right.
There are no bodies.
Right.
It killed everybody, including, you know, insects, dogs, cats, whatever.
Right.
There are no bodies. Nothing's there. And there was no looting. Everything is pretty much as it was.
Right.
So there's all kinds of supplies because there was right. everything you would have had for people.
It's just like, but there's no people.
But there's no electricity. There's no running water. In fact, there's the first, the second episode deals with that there's no running water.
Ugh.
But there's plenty of running water around.
Right.
Because he's got bottled water. I mean, basically, he's never going to run out of supplies because right. he has all the supplies for the entire world.
Right.
You know, the civilized world just sort of vanished, basically. Hmm. They all died very quickly or something.
Right.
It's best not to think about it because it's a comedy.
No.
But it's believable enough because you're like, okay, yeah, if there's two people left, then there's plenty of supplies for them to go for a long time, just right. eating Twinkies for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of fun. They don't have to deal with all the crazy survival stuff of Walking Dead or anything like that. It's like there's not enough people for all the supplies that are left. So you don't yeah. have to worry about that. What do you do with all your time? And jeez. And oh man, I that just cracked me up.
It takes a remarkable, ambitious and very creative person to come yeah. up with the stuff that he did.
Yeah, Will Forte is great here. And this was his project.
Oh, okay.
He brought yeah. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller in on it.
Yeah.
The guys from Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street.
They must have done a bulk of the writing because it's their a lot of their wit.
They did, but this was his project. He wrote it first.
Oh, really?
Like this, he wrote the treatment or whatever. Mm. This was all Will Forte's project. And so it was
like, those guys are so hot right now.
Yeah.
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 Get them to go in on this with me.
It was good because they bring in that.
I guess
they
take the voice on the Lego movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I don't know who.
But
Superman or something.
He's great. There's actually some nice little poignant moments and stuff. I mean, they deal with sort of the loneliness of it and all this kind of stuff. But they do it in a way that's never like downbeat and depressing. It's sort of thoughtful and then funny.
A little bit.
I didn't think it was depressing though. I was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
He just was checking out. He was drinking on his way. He was just like, okay, this is the logical thing. I'm done. I quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very excited to see where it goes.
Oh, I loved this. I was very happy with where they went on this.
I do feel though that this is a good segue to talk about The Odd Couple reboot, which is on CBS, which I watched the pilot of.
Which is not set in the post-apocalypse.
No, I wish.
It's in the apocalyptic wasteland of CBS.
Yes.
So this is Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon, and they are a modern update of the Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon. Were they?
Yeah, the original ones in the movie.
Yeah.
And then TV was
Oscar and Felix.
Tony Randall
and Jack Klugman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's very much the multicam audience, maybe mix in with some laugh track, bump it up, and just cornball humor that it's terrible because you see these two really funny guys. I think Matthew Perry and Thomas Lennon are hilarious.
What? Yeah.
But when you see them like say stupid lines and like play it up, ham it up for the audience to laugh, and I'm just staring like, what?
Well, here's my question: is Matthew Perry the neat one or the slob?
He's slob.
He's got to be.
That's bad casting.
Yeah,
Matthew Perry is the guy you get to play the neat one,
the straight one,
but he chubbied up,
and Tom Lennon can totally play either one.
I mean, Tom Lennon's pretty good.
Oh,
with that.
He can totally play the neat freak, but I don't think Matthew Perry can play the slob.
Well, Matthew,
because he's so good at playing neurotic.
He's better at playing neurotic. He'd be the perfect guy to play Felix and let Lennon do Oscar because Lennon's got the range to do Oscar.
Yeah, he seems like Matthew Perry just seems to get miscast, he's got his wheelhouse, and for whatever reason, he doesn't just stick to it.
Yeah,
like. Like, Matthew Perry could have had, like, I always think about, like, he could have had, like, Vince Vaughn's career.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? Where Vince Vaughn is Vince Vaughn in everything.
Yeah.
But he's great. People like that.
Yeah.
Where Matthew Perry is kind of like Matthew Perry.
But he keeps swinging for these sort of darker projects like Go On and Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, but it's just
and
not,
Studio 60.
Right. The thing all those is, movies he did in the 90s where...
Yeah.
I mean, the only one I've
Oh, I forgot, yeah.
Well, the only one I remember is...
like, really attractive ladies?
The Bruce Willis two, those two.
Oh, the whole nine yards, whole
thing? Yeah, those are the only two I remember.
You know, here's the thing. If you're going to do The Odd Couple modern day, I think what I would have done is I would have made one of them a liberal gay person and the other one a conservative and have them be the odd couple. Do something else besides the neat freak and the slob.
I completely agree.
Or... One of them's a vampire, and one of them's a werewolf.
Wait, that's compatible.
Still better.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually. Unless this is the Twilight verse.
It seems like an outdated time, and I wonder how the ratings were, an outdated model for a show, but I don't know.
They could be on that tail end of still getting a bunch of money and running for 10 years.
But,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to... Didn't that other... oh, my God. The old Charlie Sheen show. Didn't that go off the air?
The anger management one or
two and a half men
finally went out.
Yeah, two and a half, whatever they are.
But two and a half bros.
Well, yeah. Two and a half men. This is not. I don't know how the ratings were, but the critical drubbing has been pretty unanimous.
So in that pilot episode, you know, they're both divorced guys. One Thomas Lennon more recently than the other. That's how they end up moving in together.
Yeah,
and like. All humor was just kind of sucked out of it because they're trying to get some humor and mileage out of like the mourning for his lost failed marriage.
Yeah,
and it just got really sad.
You know, that's a common thing Matthew Perry seems to do. He does these things where the guy has his wife has just died, or that was a go on. It's like wasn't that they were all support group members and his wife had died and Mr. Sunshine he had lost his job and he was trying to get his way back. I mean, it was like. There's always loss. There's always a weird thing like that. Must be a thing he finds really interesting.
He likes to have this facade of happiness when there's a lot of pain. Yeah. Well, he's holding on to, because at the end he breaks down and cries.
Even Studio,
and like,
even Studio 60, he was a guy who had lost his career. He blew his career on a like. He had blown his career because of drugs or something, and he was It was
kinda
he's like, always the guy who's trying to crawl back up. What is that?
Like Matthew Perry.
Yeah,
I mean, if I looked at that as like a Matthew, as these are all images of who he is as a guy, which it seems like it is.
Yeah,
that is more interesting.
Yeah,
like, because I can identify with this person.
Yeah, because
I can identify.
Well, which is really weird because here's a guy who's had more, who's got more money than anybody.
Yeah,
being one, he hit his stride young and hard. And set for life.
Yeah.
And just seems to be like, he always seems like to have like no confidence. Like maybe, and I always thought that whenever I watch, like, I've seen like literally two episodes of Friends. So it's like, he always seems kind of like having that neurotic sense of like, people are going to find me out. They're going to find out that I'm not that good.
Yeah.
And he powered that into his career, where I think it led into his addictions that he's had.
Yeah.
And I would find it more interesting if he did what Matt LeBlanc did, where he actually was the character Matthew Perry trying to do all this shit. That would have been more interesting and I think better than, what is that show? On Showtime that Matt LeBlanc did.
Episodes.
I think it actually would have been more interesting. Or like what What's-Her-Face did.
Phoebe.
On The Comeback.
On The Comeback. That would have been more interesting. Thank you.
It's like Mad Libs. Mad Libs.
Greg Mad Libs.
But anyway, but that would be interesting. He's more interesting as a person to me than to anything he plays.
I got one more for you.
Okay.
The Odd Siamese Couple.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Are they conjoined?
They're conjoined twins. One of them's neat. One of them is really sloppy. And they both want to date the same girl. They're both divorced from the same woman. They married him. She divorced one of the twins, and then she married the other one, and then they divorced him. So they're both divorced from the same woman, and they're conjoined twins who live in an apartment.
That'd be awesome.
And one of them is a werewolf.
I'd watch that.
You're just a TV hit show making machine.
I don't know why I haven't gotten a call from NBC.
You need a shingle someplace.
I got one more show to bring up that also plays once again into this odd couple formula. Yep. Battle Creek, which is the Vince Gilligan scripted show that he did like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Sold to CBS, and now that he's a hot commodity, they're making this show.
This is basically like CBS went through Vince Gilligan's garbage and found an old script.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is Josh Duhamel, an FBI agent who's like kind of this hot shit FBI agent, but he must have burned some bridges because he gets relocated to the town of Battle Creek, which is kind of a smaller city within Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then we have, I forget the other actor's name.
He's teamed up with Lucifer, Lord of Lies, to fight crime.
What?
And Nathan, that's what it is. Trying to Lucifer, right? Oh, no. That's the Lucifer pitch. I forgot.
Yeah, no. This is
it's mayhem from the insurance commercials.
He was the ultimate. He was the cop that in season
his
one.
His name's
of,
Dean Winters.
Yeah, he was in scene one, first season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I guess he was a super cop.
Yep, he's also in Rescue Me as a cop.
Who steals their all their perps.
He's in Rescue Me as the cop brother. Yeah. And then he's on 30 Rock playing against Stipe as the Beeper King.
So basically, he's top dog of this police department, which is kind of a schlubby joke of a police department. They don't have to deal with like very many serious crimes.
Okay.
Occasionally they get some, and he's kind of the employee of the month every kind of month. So he's used to having the big swinging dick in the room. Mm-hmm. And then this guy walks in, and Josh Duhamel's just so good looking and gets away with everything that he immediately hates him. And so it's kind of that friction between them. They go in solving a case, and Josh Duhamel's FBI character has all these resources he's able to just pull in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of this play off of each other, except for it seems like it's just this chip on the shoulder of the Dean Winters character, mm-hmm. Russ Agnew,
right?
Where Josh Duhamel's almost oblivious or just kind of entertaining the fact that he's so angry with him, but he's just like being nice and helpful to him.
Yeah.
Wait a second. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at a summary. Is his name Font White? Is that the character's name?
Fontenelle White, Cal Penn, yeah.
Oh, boy. That's really Font White.
So Cal Penn is in there. They have a couple other people that are playing these second-tier characters.
Yeah.
But they didn't do a whole lot in the first episode. I mean, it's okay.
It's entertaining.
It actually wasn't too bad. There's some funny jokes in play between the characters. I thought there was some interesting some chemistry. Josh Duhamel wasn't as off-putting as usual. In fact, I mean, he just kind of plays.
I don't know what I know him from.
He was in
Vegas and
he was
didn't see that
Transformers. He's all the Transformers
didn't
movies.
I only saw the first Transformers movie.
Well, he was the he was the white dude, the white commando guy.
I thought that. Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
He's they had the black commando guy, which is Trey, whatever, and then the white commando guy, which is Josh.
What's funny is that you're talking about Transformers, and I believe those could be their character names. Like that is as far as Michael Bay got with the script. He's like, white commando guy, go over here. Black commando guy, get killed by my racist Autobot.
And they play that exactly like that, too. Yeah. That's where I know him from.
He looks like Raylan Givens.
Yeah.
Looks like
Timothy Olyphant, but not as talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as great an actor, but
was he in one of
maybe
those
better looking.
Was he in one of those one of those MTV shows or something like that, I thought.
He's in All My Children. You knew him from Ramona and Beezus, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah. I watched a lot of Ramona and Beezus.
Yeah, you have kids.
Yep. Nope. Never seen Ramona and Beezus.
Anyway, that about covers it for this week.
Yep.
Next week, we got a bunch of other shows, it looks like, on the docket as well that we're going to be jumping in and covering. Yep.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. American Crime.
American Crime.
So set your dials to check out those shows and tune back in to listen to us again next week, guys. I wanted to also mention there's a couple of podcast awards going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's one podcast awards thing going
yes.
on. There's a couple categories that are interesting to us and in particular me a bit. Because two of my other shows, RageSelect.com and The Beerists, are both up for awards. So if you guys could go there every day and vote, that'd be really cool
both
of you.
Juggernauts
of
the podcasting world. Juggernauts.
They're in the gaming and food and drink categories, respectively.
Podcastawards.com?
Podcastawards.com. That'd be swell, guys. Also, keep those iTunes shout-outs and Stitcher ratings coming.
And Amazon reviews of milk.
And
milk conspiracy.
Seriously, we
hashtag
see
milk conspiracy.
Hashtag milk conspiracy.
We want to see it. We want to see it painted on billboards everywhere.
Just wait till the FBI shows up. Want to know what the hell we're talking about?
And we're just like, I didn't do it. They're arresting
him. That'd be hilarious.
Milk mustache. It was him. All right, guys. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you, audience. Put your comments in there. Like us on Facebook and on Twitter. Until next week.
Tavy Dudes out.